Greetings, everyone, and the Lie of the Month, Radiant One. This is Deanna speaking to you this Friday night, the 20th of June. Happy summer solstice, everyone. I send you all a big hug and a greeting and a love and, oh, lots of joy and gratitude in this moment. Today was a summer day here, finally, our first real warm summer day. We've had temperatures down to 37 this last week, so it was really wonderful to have the sunshine and to see this beautiful earth. And we welcome you to this call on this Friday night, this year 2014. And yes, guess what? We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the voice of the future, and this call is all about that. So I welcome you to our circle. And just imagine that we are all seated in a beautiful space on the earth somewhere in the mountains, beautiful green pasture. Let's picture that tonight with a fire in the middle. And we have gathered round one by one and found our place around the fire. And the sun is sinking into the west. And the stars are starting to come out. And we still have the beautiful snow-capped mountains. And the sound of a stream running by. And the pastures, the land is full of summer flowers, the hills. And there's a silence tonight as the crickets begin to chirp in the forest. And we feel a sense of gratitude for being here and in our bodies at this most important time on our planet, the time of awakening. So reach out, take the hand of the person sitting next to you, and feel the energy begin to circle around the fire. And if you would come with me on this journey tonight, we'll have a little meditation to begin this call. So let's breathe together into the great one heart, great universal oneness. And feel the energy move around the circle. And imagine we are able to encircle this entire planet. And feel her presence through your feet. Reach down with your energy, with your heart energy, and meet the earth, meet her heart energy. And we honor this beautiful planet that we live upon. And all the magical things that happen every single day to keep us and help us be here. And the little tiny miracles that we're all having, that we're seeing in our lives unfold. We thank you, Mother Gaia, for all the blessings you bring us, for the air that we breathe and the water we drink and the food we eat. All your abundant joy, your abundant life. And yes, we know you're in trouble. We know our planet is in trouble. We are awake, and we are ready to serve. And may we use this night, this evening of the summer solstice, to reconsecrate our lives to the highest that is living within our hearts. That dwells within us, that oneness. And there are so many places that need our help tonight. So as we thank the earth and all of her creatures and all of her wondrous miracles of life that she is sustaining another summer, we place in the center of our circle for healing, those loved ones in our lives that need our help, will silently speak those names to the center of the circle. Tonight we're praying for three wonderful bogey animals that need our prayers. For my Jenny dog that just had surgery on her leg and it's underway, and we believe she's going to walk on all fours again. It looks really good. We thank all of you who've been sending energy and putting her in the light. For another doggy friend named Juniper, who just had surgery to remove a tumor in the paw. These are precious little beings that are companions to so many of us. We know the love of an animal is very precious. So we place the name of Juniper in our circle tonight. And her companion, her human companion, Phyllis. And we also place a doggy by the name of Mara in the circle, who is perhaps getting ready for her transition. So we send our love to Mara and to all those names, named and unnamed within us, within our circle, that need our prayers tonight, that need our love. We reach out with our hearts, and we wrap you in the light of the divine light of a violet flame. We call upon our ascended master teachers, our star nations tonight to be with us. And we place in the circle all those beings who are working diligently towards the healing of this earth. Those beings that we call our white knights and that work behind the scenes that are named and unnamed. We thank you for your service and for the giving of the gift that you give in protecting us while watching over us and making sure that this planet is moving towards the correct timeline. We are told that we are now on the last one real timeline that will lead us to peace. And it is so apparent and so real now that we must leave our weapons at the door and lay down the tools of war, because it serves no one. Does not serve this planet or any being at all who participates. And yet we thank all of those who diligently serve and have served from their hearts, who have tried to heal. We hold them all in the light and their families as well. So on this summer solstice night, let us re-examine our lives. And let us renew ourselves and begin again. This is the most important time, this summer solstice, ever. And I would like to read some words of transcendence tonight that perhaps will help us do that. These words are written by Ralph Waldo Emerson, called The Oversoul. Let us learn the revelations of all nations. Don't turn on my light here. And thought that the highest dwells within us, that the sources of nature are in our minds, that there is no screen or ceiling between our heads and the infinite heavens, so there is no bar or wall in the soul where we, the effect, cease and God, the cause, begins. I am constrained every moment to acknowledge a higher origin for the event than the wheel I call mine. There is a deep power in which we exist, and his beatitude is accessible to us. Every moment when the individual feels invaded by it is memorable. It comes to the lowly and the simple. It comes to whoever will put off what is foreign and proud. It comes as insight. It comes as serenity and grandeur. The soul's health consists in the fullness of its reception. Forever and ever, the influx of this better and more universal self is new and unsearchable. Within us is the soul of the whole, the wise silence, the universal beauty, to which every part and parcel is equally related, the eternal one. When it breaks through our intelligence, it is known as genius. When it breathes through our will, it is virtue. When it flows through our affections, it is love. So let us reconsecrate ourselves to love. We see so much violence these days, and it's so easily to be burdened by it. We see the pictures of so many unspeakable events. We can hardly imagine what is going on in places on this planet. And yet, every single one, every single being who is participating in those events are somehow called on a soul level to help awaken us with the events that they are participating in. That's why we go through these things, so that we can learn what freedom is and the price of it. And so we can hold freedom and never again allow ourselves to be enslaved. That's the goal. And to love no matter what. Well, I hope these words have been comforting to you tonight. And it's the children so much that need our prayers, need our help. So many refugees, there's something like 7 million refugees now. You know, more than there were even at World War II. So this is a very strong moment for us all. And yet somehow we have to live in love and joy through it all and find the power of the joy and the power of the love, the power to say no to these forces of darkness and to love them and give them the opportunities to lay down their weapons and come to the table for peace, for healing. So that's our prayer tonight. And I would like to just read one more thing. I'm moved to read my favorite psalm. This is Psalm 23. I think you know it. You are my shepherd. I shall not want. You cradle me in green pastures. You lead me beside the still waters. You restore my soul. You guide me in paths of righteousness, for you are righteous. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You soothe my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in your house forever. So that be our prayer tonight. on the summer solstice. I thank you all for showing up, for being here, for listening, for sharing, for standing up in your world in the ways that you are standing up and claiming your freedom. And we love you and bless you. And Tara is going to do the housekeeping tonight. I didn't get prepared for it. I didn't know I was supposed to do it. So, Tara, I'm going to pass the talking stick to you now. I love you all. Namaste.
Thank you so much, Deanna. Setting the tone for this most important day. Tomorrow is World Peace Prayer Day with the Sikh community across the whole planet. And it's indeed a reason why that's the day every year that that's celebrated, because and remember, the way we do this is we pray peace. We don't pray for anything, because that makes it keep on going into the future. Get that F-O-R word out of there. We just pray peace. Instantaneous peace. And we're doing pretty good here. We need $332 for this week. And we're pretty close to having the rent. We put the deposit. Whoops. We put the deposit down, so it's secured. Yet we need the rent, and this time it can't be late.
No.
So I mean, we have something toward it, but we need some contributions toward the rent, everybody. And so I pray abundance. I pray peace. I pray joy, and I pray prosperity and opulence. Opulence is an interesting word. It doesn't mean you have a pile of things and you're stumbling over everything. It means that you have an elegant, opulent, high vibration, super good vibrations. You take really good care of your animals, your plants, your brothers, your sisters, your daughters, your sons, your fathers, your mothers. And that's an opulent life. Everybody's capable of learning and experiencing joy. That's opulent life. The divine virtues is the are the gems in that elixir, everybody. Okay, and so I guess we will, as you wish to assist us, then there is first and foremost for the radio that, you know, the radio is our community gathering space. So, and PayPal is available on, there's an icon for it at this BBS radio station too, and you scroll down to today's show is Hard News with Tara and Rama. And tomorrow it'll be Nasara Law and Our Galactic World, the true history of Nasara Law and Our Galactic World. And then, of course, yesterday we always have the Stargate Roundtable. They need contributions on that particular one so that everything is copacetic and it's balanced. Balance we have so that we all feel the dignity of our work at each call site. That's very important, everybody. Okay, we all know we are loved, and the location for sending to Tara and Rama is in care of Ram, capital R-A-M, initial D as in David, Berkowitz, capital B as in boy, E-R-K, O-W-I-T-Z. That is 1704-B as in boy, capital B as in boy, Llano Street, capital L, small l, A-N as in Nellie O, Street, number 249, Santa Fe, New Mexico, M-E-X-I-C-O. And that's 87505. Okay, that's good. And then you can send directly to the radio. And the best thing about that is when you send, everything that you send gets there. PayPal takes their share, and it's gone up a couple of times. So I'm just saying, a little extra walk to the mailbox could be a good idea, especially as you want to give a contribution and you don't have a whole lot. At least the whole thing gets there. So that would be to BBS as in Sam, Network, comma, Inc., INC, period. 5167 Toyon Lane, Toyon Lane. And that is indeed in Paradise, California. And please, everybody, pray rain for Paradise, California. Indeed, there's only 2 years of water in the whole state left. So pray rain. And they're having fires again. I didn't get exactly where they were, but I saw that on NHK News. They're having fires somewhere, most likely in the southern part of California. And we have got a big old blood red fire zone all over us and Arizona and Nevada.
It's going to be 109.
What? Say it loud.
It's going to be 109 in Phoenix tomorrow.
Oh, they're used to that, but that's not a good thing when it's so dry, everyone.
No.
So pray rain, pray rain. Okay, I think that we got that. And as we contribute with ease here and make the load light in that department, it allows us to lift the stress of worry, and not that we don't worry, we'd be happy, yet as that's a possibility, it would be great. There's lots to do to make a move and keep doing what's going on the news. And believe me, the news is not getting less, it's getting much, much more. And so let's pass this thing over here to Lord Rama, so you can start the story.
Greetings, everyone. Happy solstice. And what I can say on this magnificent day, along with everything else that is coming up roses, and as our beloved sister, Sri Karuna Mai told us, everything is coming up roses, yet there are going to be some thorns.
And so what she said is, as you have good soles on your feet, and I think she was alliterating to the S-O-U-L-S, S-O-L-E-S, both end.
Soul tech.
Well grounded in your soul technology, then that will not be a problem.
Yes, ditto. And what I can say about the news today.
A few thorns in the news today, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I want to keep this light. And at the same time, it's about light technology, because all we are is living light, living love. Yet the stories are so horrific. How do you talk about it? And our friend Lee Camp on Redacted tonight, along with Bill Maher, going to lay it out in lavender. And Mike Papantonio today was sitting in for Tom. And I got to talk with him and Bobby Kennedy Jr., and I got Mr. X on the horn, and we all had a little chat. somewhere in cyberspace. That's what I could say. It wasn't on the airwaves, but yet it was on the airwaves. And
yeah, you were talking privately, right?
Right. And our lovely boys with the three-letter agencies, they got hacked today.
They did?
Yeah, the N blank A got hacked. And
that is cool. Who did it?
Actually, Kim Komando. If you go to komando.com, she's the cyberspace guru out there, lady, master that she is. And whoever hacked the N blank A, they used a little technique. Edward Snowden, along with Julian Assange, leaked out across the airwaves.
That is really good.
And so they kind of got their medicine back.
Well, keep it up, because they need to know that that's not going to... They're not going to be able to sneak around anymore.
And actually, a few members of our Congress creatures, bless their hearts, actually did something today to curb the reins of the N blank A by doing something. I can't remember exactly what they did, but it was to check them in hard and fast, so that, you know, we have a bit of privacy here where, you know, their homeland, you know, it was never called their homeland before 9/11. And that is a term that not even Hitler used. It was actually called the fatherland. And this brings in a very unusual story that...
Well, Bush introduced it right with his homeland security game.
Yeah. And this brings in something that, you know, I talk about a lot. The Tesseract, Captain America, and the Red Skull. And this scientist who actually... tried to get a hold of one of the Infinity Stones and use it for darkness. And let's see, he got a little visit from the Collector out there, Guardians of the Galaxy, and the Red Skull is no more. But what Mike Papantonio, Bobby Kennedy Jr., and Mr. X shared with me today is that there's something brewing big time in the works, and it's got to do with that goddess lady. She's black, she's beautiful, and she is going to run. Her name is Michelle Obama, and this involves Miss O, Randy Rhodes, and a few other folks in the works.
Having a little cluster of huddles.
Yeah, because what is going on here with there are 16 investigations going on into criminal activity at the highest level with our governors in this country. And I can't name all the 16 governors, but yet Chris Christie's one of them, Rick Scott, Governor Kasich up there in Michigan, Scott Walker, Rick Perry, the executioner there in Texas.
And there's even Rick Santorum and
Mike Huckabee.
Huckabee, they still are straggling around. And yeah, Mitt Romney wants to do his thing. This guy's got another thing coming. They're not gonna
They don't hold a candle to Miss O and Michelle Obama.
Well, we've got 16 minutes there, so we only got one more minute. Two or three more minutes, Nick, so we got to talk fast.
Oh, okay. And
I was going to mention that the Democrat, Democratic governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, he screamed at the Republicans. He said,
yes,
"You are demagogic." That's what he said. And he says, "I am going to get our people health care. They have refused in the richest state in the country to extend Medicaid, which is free, basically, for this year. And I guess it's for the first 3 years until then. And then it goes down to 90%.
Yeah.
Get a life is all we can
say. And Bobby Kennedy Jr. today just said, it's time to get Icelandic on these criminal cabals. As we get Icelandic, we kick the Rothschilds, the Rocky and Shrubwinkle show out, free health care, free education, and we get our republic back as we can keep it. And Iceland actually is the place between Iceland and Greenland where the Rainbow Bridge to Asgard is, and
that's true.
And all the other realms that are the nine realms. And
we got very reminded from Swami Purna that there indeed is a rainbow bridge.
Oh, and yesterday it was International Elvish Day in Iceland. And
today is International Refugee Day.
Yes.
And we have more refugees than ever before, more than since World War II, primarily from Syria, yet the global situation of refugee is now higher than the last time we had this situation, which was at the end of World War II. That's something to think about, everybody.
And what they were sharing, Sam Cedar talked about this today. International Elvish Day is in Iceland and all the Scandinavian Arctic Circle countries. They honor the high elves, which are the elves that Legolas is part of, and Galadriel and King Celeborn, who live in the forest of Fangorn.
We're going to have to talk about fairies and elves and a little more depth, because on a summer solstice day, I mean, there are all kinds of
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Mr. Beloved Ascended Master Saint Germain. He wrote the play A Midsummer Night's Dream by Shakespeare.
For Francis Bacon was the true author, indeed.
Yes.
Meaning that Shakespeare could not read or write, and he didn't do anything but get a plug and money from the Rothschilds, and their name of their family that back then was Bauer, B-A-U-E-R. So we're going to get a lesson and a half here. There's many more things to say. I just want to say that in the last 2 days, over 300 East Ukrainians were killed by the military of Kyiv. And they keep calling them pro-Russian whatevers. What do they keep calling them? Pro-Russian.
Pro-Russian separatists? No.
Yes, that's what they call them.
Yeah.
And that is not the truth at all.
And supposedly the chocolate billionaire did a 7-day ceasefire and
he declared it, yet that's only a one-way street.
Right.
And they don't consider him their president. They did not. One person in the east, whole east of Ukraine, voted for this person.
And
there was no choice. And these people have no interest in this European Union Western prone government, which are doing nothing but getting money from the Nazi collaborators of European Union and our Western Nazi collaborators over here.
And apparently, according to the U.S., the Russian troops are massing on the Ukrainian border, and they are...
They are completely denying that in the eastern Ukraine areas.
Uh-huh.
This is another double standard and a bunch of lies. And these people are screaming to the high heaven about the truth.
Yeah, this is, you know.
I think we better start playing it or we won't have enough time. We want to play a piece from our sister Rachel. She did a magnificent piece. And this is the 50th anniversary of the killing of the three boys in Mississippi. Two of them were volunteers from New York and forgot where else the other one came from. Oh, well, turn that sound down.
Sweets become salaries.
Turn that all the way down, yeah. Okay, we got to get rid of the commercial, everybody.
30 seconds and counting.
Yeah. We just got to get it up there because we won't make it. It's 16 minutes, everybody. Okay, well, there's more to come. I'm just going to say that we are definitely on the roll, and nothing can stop us now.
Okay, this is a test, but it is not merely a test. Famously, in June 1964, college students from all around the country decided to spend the summer in the great state of Mississippi. All over the country that year, young people who were involved in the fight for civil rights or who wanted to be involved in that fight, they decided to head into Mississippi into the heat of the summer that year to try to register African-American Mississippi citizens to vote.
You can't hit you right here until you pull yourself across a little bit more. The only place you can hit you is right up and down the ribs, across the back, and across the rump. And that's it. You can protect all the front of your body. And I think that's the most important part to protect.
When they were making the decision to go that year to Mississippi, they knew that what they were going to be getting into was dangerous work. They knew it was going to be physically dangerous. As part of getting ready to go, the students practiced what to say and what to do. They practiced how to react if, say, a mob attacked them at a county courthouse when they were in Mississippi. Before they went, they tested themselves and they trained themselves. They tried to inure themselves so that they could manage the violence that they expected to face. When they finished their training, they piled their suitcases into their cars and they drove across country to Mississippi for Freedom Summer 1964. These are images of some of the first volunteers to arrive in Mississippi. They're welcomed in the state with a glass of milk. They were also welcomed in the state with this news that was just beginning to break about three of their fellow volunteers.
There is some mystery and some fear concerning three of the civil rights workers, two whites from New York City and a Negro from Mississippi. Police say they arrested the three men for speeding yesterday, but released them after they posted bond. They have not been heard from since.
They have not been heard from since. They would never be heard from again. Those three young volunteers, three young men, were killed 50 years ago this week. They were killed 50 years ago Saturday. Those three men, of course, are very famous now in American civil rights and American history. Their names are James Chaney, he was the one from Mississippi, and Andrew Goodman and Michael Schwerner. If you've ever heard of the old Mississippi Burning movie, that movie is the story of what happened to these three young men. And I will warn you that some of the pictures from the time here are a little graphic. What happened in their case is that these three young men, these three young volunteers, they had gone to investigate a church burning near the eastern Mississippi town of Philadelphia. But their car got a flat tire and they had to stop. And the sheriff in Philadelphia, Mississippi, then arrested them, took them into custody on the allegation of speeding. And because they were taken into custody, that meant that everybody in town knew who they were and where they were and when they were there. And that, of course, meant that everybody in town knew how to find them. When the sheriff released those three men from the jail that night, they knew enough to be afraid, and they raced for the safety of their home base, which was about 45 miles away in the town of Meridian, Mississippi. They didn't make it those 45 miles to Meridian. Instead, they just disappeared for weeks, no sign of them. Investigators ultimately found their bodies six weeks later, buried in an earthen dam at a place called the Old Jolly Farm, just outside Philadelphia, the town where they'd been pulled over. Goodman and Schwerner, the two white men of the three, they were both shot in the chest. But Mr. Chaney, the black man from Mississippi, they shot him in the head. Not long before she died, the late Maya Angelou wrote a foreword to a book about the murders of these three. She said the camaraderie of those three young men in death changed the way that she saw the world. She said she had never expected ever that white people would die for the sake of black people. She said, quote, those three young men represent 300,000 young men and women who dared, who had the courage to go to the lion's den and to try to scrub the lion's teeth. The families of the three men stayed together during the long search for them and during the funerals that followed once their bodies were found. The widow of one of the two white men, the widow of Michael Schwerner, she asked that Michael Schwerner be buried alongside James Chaney, the man from Mississippi. But the rules of Jim Crow would not permit them to be buried next to each other. Segregation even after death. Segregation even in burial. And so, in death, James Chaney was buried alone in Mississippi. He was buried in a segregated cemetery. James Chaney was buried high up on a hill on the outskirts of his hometown of Meridian, Mississippi. And reports at the time said that on their way to the memorial service for James Chaney, the mourners had to pass through a gauntlet of local residents who came out onto the street to jeer at them and scream at them as they tried to go to his funeral. Over the years, we've become a country in which no one's really willing to say out loud that they were one of the people jeering and screaming that day, right? Those murders changed the country. Because those murders changed the country, we have come to see those three young men as American martyrs. Martyrs for African Americans having the right to vote. Martyrs for an end to racial law in our country. Those three young men who were killed, and all the hundreds of thousands of Americans who marched and who worked and who got thrown into jail and who gave their money and provided food or a place to sleep to all those volunteers, we have what is supposed to be a consensus now as a country that the people on the side of civil rights, what they did in 1964, that was noble. And in addition to being noble and right, it also worked. They won. The summer after James Chaney and Andrew Goodman and Michael Schwerner were all killed and their bodies were hid inside that earthen dam in Mississippi, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act into law. The following summer, he said, no more poll taxes, no more literacy tests, no more of any of the tricks designed to keep legal voters from actually being able to vote. Johnson's signature on that law resulted directly from the sacrifices of people like those three civil rights workers who were killed in Philadelphia, Mississippi. But just below the level at which we are willing to talk openly about it, outside of polite company and what we are willing to admit to in the light of day and in conversations with our names attached to our quotes, there isn't actually a consensus view on the heroism of James Chaney and Andrew Goodman and Michael Schwerner. They're not heroes to everyone. Part of how you can tell that is by what happened to James Chaney's grave after they put him in the ground. NBC Nightly News sent a reporter there to the gravesite in 1988 on the occasion of that movie coming out, Mississippi Burning. This is what they found at James Chaney's grave in Mississippi in 1988.
In reality, the headstone has been totally knocked off by vandals, thrown in a ditch nearby, and now totally disappeared. This granite block, crudely labeled 1964 James Chaney, is all that now remains. Ken Bodie, NBC News, Meridian, Mississippi.
They did bury James Chaney with a proper headstone, but then vandals broke it off and threw it in a ditch. It almost defies believing, right, if you didn't see it for yourself. But that is what they found in 1988. And I should tell you that the situation did not stay like that. James Chaney's brother got him a new headstone the following year to replace the one that had been wrecked. Well, today, because it is 50 years this week since James Chaney was killed, we sent a producer for this show, Laura Conaway, to the cemetery where James Chaney is buried to see what has happened there now. A member of the Okotipi Missionary Baptist Church, where James Chaney is buried in the cemetery, a woman named Ruby McFarland, she showed us the site today. Ruby McFarland was a college student herself the year Mr. Chaney and the other young men were killed in Mississippi. She also worked on voter registration and pickets at restaurants. She walked us across the churchyard today and past the many graves there to the one that you really cannot miss. And that one belongs to James Chaney, who had to be buried there alone.
His picture was there.
And what happened to it?
Well, it was all cracked up, like somebody had damaged it. It was knocked over, and when they put this one, they installed this brace. So, you know, it couldn't be done as easily.
What did it mean to you over the years to see people knock down the tombstone or knock out the picture.
That there's just still evil, hatred, and, you know, that's something I feel like will continue, you know. We don't live in a perfect world. As the song goes, a change is going to come, and that change is coming slowly, but we do have people that are concerned, and they know that one human being is no better than the next, and that's how I felt about the workers that was with Cheney when, you know, they spent their summers to come to Mississippi to help register people and educate people on the importance of registration and what it means, you know. That's one of the highlights of our American Constitution, to register and to vote so that you can have a voice in what's going on.
Do you remember when the Voting Rights Act passed?
Yes, I do. I think it gave the people more confidence, more security. Like I say, the people that had really been working hard could see some of the fruit of their hard work, really.
For all that was done to James Cheney's grave over the years, the marker there is still standing now, only because his brother had it propped up with these heavy metal braces so people couldn't knock it down anymore. James Cheney's gravestone had to be physically bolstered with metal braces to prop it up against any attempt to knock it down. And it is standing today, proud in its scars and standing. Those braces have themselves become sort of their own symbol now of not giving in and not giving up. And in the face of that, and because the metal braces made it harder to do, at some point, we're told today that the repeated vandalism of the gravestone did stop. Ms. McFarland told us today that it's hard to tell exactly when people finally stopped trying to destroy his headstone over and over again. She says in the last few years, the cemetery has even now started to see visits from tour groups traveling out there in Meridian to honor James Cheney and to see where he's buried. Last summer, the United States Supreme Court struck down the part of the Voting Rights Act that allowed for extra scrutiny of states like Mississippi, the part that stopped states like Mississippi, who have a history of blocking their black citizens from voting. The Supreme Court blocked the part of the Voting Rights Act that made Mississippi and other states have to get federal permission before they change their voting rules so as to make sure that they didn't use those rules once again to hurt black people's voting rights. When the Supreme Court overturned that part of LBJ's Voting Rights Act this past summer, that day, Mississippi, as well as Alabama and North Carolina and Texas, they all announced that very day that they would move ahead immediately with new restrictions on voting. Restrictions they'd wanted to institute before, but they had been blocked by the old voting rights law that banned changes that were too racist, too racially discriminatory in their impact. With that law out of the way, those states went ahead with those changes on the very first day that they could. And 50 years exactly since Goodman and Cheney and Schwerner died in Philadelphia, Mississippi, trying to overturn voting rules that discriminated against black Americans, today, this year, there are new restrictions on the way all around the country that we vote. A new report from the Brennan Center this week points out that the places where it's going to be harder to vote in this year's elections in 2014, those places follow a pretty distinct pattern. It's going to be harder to vote in this year's elections in places where black turnout is the highest in the country, and in places where Latino population growth is the strongest in the country. Look at this. Of the top 11 states for black voter turnout, 7 of them have new restrictions on voting going into effect for this year's elections. Of the 12 states with the largest Hispanic population growth in the country, 9 of those 12 states have passed laws that will make it harder to vote in this year's elections. And the state of Mississippi is on both of those lists. The changes that state government wanted in Mississippi, they were seen as too racist to be approved while Mississippi was under federal oversight. But the second that federal oversight was lifted, Mississippi pushed ahead. Since that big Supreme Court ruling last summer, Republicans in Congress have talked occasionally about maybe some kind of legislative fix for the Voting Rights Act, some way to essentially bring the law back, strengthen the law again. Congressman Eric Cantor was the biggest talker of them all. He started the last couple of years making civil rights pilgrimages to the South with Congressman John Lewis. He walked across the bridge at Selma with John Lewis. Congressman Cantor came back from those pilgrimages saying, yes, we ought to do something to prop up the Voting Rights Act that the Supreme Court has destroyed. But Eric Cantor apparently was really just all talk on the issue. He never actually signed on for legislation to do that, even though he talked about it all the time.
Okay, we just got a few more minutes there, but we'll finish it later. Okay, that'll stay there, right, Rama?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll see you on the other side of this call at BBS Radio Station 2 at the top of the next hour. In this hour, we'll be going to area code 213-342-3000, and the PIN code tonight is 232323 pounds. We'll see you there for an hour in the top of the next hour. BBS Radio, best radio in this galaxy and universe. Sat Nam.